So let's turn together to Psalm 50. We referred to it this morning, and we will refer to it again in our sermon this afternoon, page 493 in our pew Bibles. And you'll see there it's a psalm of Asaph. The Mighty One, God the Lord, has spoken and called the earth. From the rising of the sun to its going down out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God will shine forth. Our God shall come and shall not keep silent. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be a very tempestuous all around him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together to me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Let the heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I will not reprove you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are continually before me. I will not take a bull from your house, nor goats out of your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine in all its fullness. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you. You shall glorify me. But to the wicked God says, what right have you to declare my statutes or take my covenant in your mouth? Seeing you hate instruction and cast my words behind you, when you saw a thief, you consented with him, and you have been a partaker with adulterers. You give your mouth to evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I kept silent. You thought that I was altogether like you, but I will reprove you and set them in order before your eyes. Now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. Let's turn once more to page 493 in our pew Bibles. And there you'll find Psalm 51, and we'll read that one more time today. To the chief musician, a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me against you. You only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. In the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear the joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. And in the words of our text, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me to the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of the righteous, with burnt offering and whole burnt offerings. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we continue as we journey through the Psalm of Repentance. Under that theme, David asks for the mercy of the Lord. And we consider together his faith in a faithful God, that even though it seemed almost beyond arrogant that David should cry out after the horrible sin against Bathsheba, after murdering Uriah, Bathsheba's wife, and all of the lying and deceit, that this rebellious king could go to his God who was his shepherd and the shepherd who was his father and say, "Have mercy on me," and God is good. And God heard him. And God caused those bones he crushed to rejoice. We saw together that there are times in our life, and especially a time in all of our lives, when God will come to us and make the burden too heavy to bear. That he will come to us even in the midst of our Christian life, when we're wandering or we're in danger or Satan seems to have won the day, and he will say, "Come to me." And Jesus will say, "Come to me, you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." But to do this, to really repent, means that we need to turn from our sin, and in order to do that, we have to admit that we're sinners. You know, one of the things that they talk about when you're an addict or an alcoholic is that you have to be willing to admit that you can't win. That you can't beat the booze, that you can't beat the drug, that you can't beat the porn, and that you need help when you turn your life over to God. And that's really what we're going to look at this afternoon. That no person here on their own can beat the devil. No person here can stand on their own and make God happy. So as we've dealt with justification this morning, and that it is a gracious act of God who gives to us faith, that we would cry out to him and says, "I declare you innocent. As if you had never sinned, I am now going to make you holy." We're going to move from justification, which, remember, for catechism or in seminary, it's 100% the work of God and 0% the work of me, to sanctification, which is 100% the work of God, and then hopefully will be 100% the work of me. That God engages us in our salvation, and interestingly enough, God will engage you in the salvation of others. And in fact, part of that is doing what we're doing right now. Gathering together as a people of God, listening to a sermon, praying and singing together, so that we can teach others the way of Almighty God. And so, David then, asking for mercy, and we with him, ask to be renewed in spirit. If many of you know Psalm 51, then I think very many of you know verse 10. "Create in me a clean heart, O God," or "O my God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." That's a remarkable thing. When is the last time you prayed that? When is the last time you crawled on your hands and knees and prayed that? "Create in me a clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me." Why do we need to pray that? Well, I'm going to go to the catechism, because the catechism gives us a nice definition of what genuine repentance or conversion is. It's two things: the dying away of the old self and the raising to life of the new. What is the dying away of the old self? To be genuinely sorry for sin more and more, and to hate and run away from it, from sin. What's the rising to life of the new self? Wholeheartedly to joy in God through Christ, and a love and delight to live according to the will of God by doing every good work. You see, on our own, in and of ourselves, that's not our delight. "In the day you eat of the fruit, you will surely die," God says. "In the day you eat of the fruit," the devil says, "you will be like God. You can have control of your own life. You can dictate what makes you happy and what brings you joy. What makes you feel good. And we move towards that. The poison of sin, it changes the way that we think and the way that we see life. And our heart doesn't want the things of God. You know, probably one of the worst messages that's out there is the messages of Walt Disney. Like The Little Mermaid. Oh, come on, The Little Mermaid, really? It's so benign, it's so cute, it's so nice. Do what lies within your heart. So she does what lies within her heart. And people are getting hurt and people almost get killed. Oh, and it all kind of works out in the end. What does Jesus say? Out of the heart of a man comes wicked and evil things. And I need to admit that. And when the power of Almighty God comes into me, I realize, again, and we quoted it this morning, what Paul says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, the good that I want to do, I don't do it. And the evil that I don't want to do, that's what I do. Oh, Lord, have mercy on me, creating me a new heart. Oh, my God, I want to serve you, but I don't know how. I want to give my life to you, but I don't know how." And look, we have that even in the Christian life. Those nagging sins, the way of the devil that just keeps moving it around. And you say, well, you know, we're Calvinists and we're Reformed and you can't, you know, lose your salvation. Nah, maybe, okay, we'll deal with that in a moment. And it is true, of course. But when God comes in true faith, do you understand that the devil's doing all that he can to ruin your witness? Oh, that's what Christians are like, eh? That's how generous they are. They don't have time for us. They think they're better than us. And that's not always true. But sometimes it is. Creating me a clean heart. Oh my God, I need a steadfast spirit. I need a spirit, your Holy Spirit, that changes my spirit so that I would be always steadfastly, right? Always wanting to serve you. Wanting to live my life in totality. Do you know how hard that is? I'm not a big one and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you really, really work for the kingdom of God as opposed to really, really work for your bank account? And even Reverend Poles and I would struggle with that one. We like our money, beloved. It's the Canadian dream. We're having trouble in Toronto because you know what? You can't buy a house. So you move out. I can't get the job I want. So you move out. I can't get the lifestyle I want. We want the Canadian dream. And we move on. And then who brings the word? What are we living for? Why are you going out with the girl, the guy you're going out with? To praise the living God? Because you believe that the two of you, as you explore these things together, will understand that together you are better for the kingdom of God? Or because I would not be able to live alone? Or I would hate to be lonely? Or because I need some man or I need some woman to love me or to get my sexual need met? Created me a clean heart, oh my God, so I begin to see a woman for who she is and a man for who he is and life for what it's supposed to be and why we're here on earth. Why are you here on earth? Why are you recreated here on earth? Why have you been converted? Because I used to think, and I struggled with this really badly. I say it this way. Earth is like, you know, the Hotel Six. It's okay. The beds are decent. I got cable. It's all right. But then I get through this pretty easy time, and then I get to go to glory, the Hotel Hilton. Because I wanted God, including in my Christianity, we want God to make it good for us. And then we look at the health and wealth people, you know. Name it, claim it, you can be rich too. But think about it. What happens when things go wrong? Phone my children or Facebook them and find out what I'm like when the lawnmower doesn't start. And you get angry. And it's all about me. And we get upset about the little things of life, the material things of life. And people watch us, and people see us, but God in heaven, like we said this morning, He sees us, and we're not living for Him. And look what He says there. I mean, these words are as much for us as for Israel. You hate instruction. You cast my words upon you. You hang out with thieves. You've been partaker with adulterers. Oh, you say, but we don't. But we know men. Jesus tells us about the way we look at women. What about the jokes that we tell? What about the lies that we tell? Look at the way we slander. Oh, you say, well, I'm a woman here, so I'm not involved. It's your own mother's son. It's all of us. Creating me a clean heart. Oh my God. What do you think's harder to do, beloved? To hate evil or to love the good? To delight in it. I want to do what God wants me to do in everything in a steadfast and a powerful way. I need your Holy Spirit. By the way, did you look at those words? So let's go a little further in that. We've brought it up now about perseverance of the saints. Verse 11 is interesting, don't you think? Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your, capital H, holy, capital S, Spirit from me. I thought if God gives you the Holy Spirit, that He can't take it away, but this is in the Bible. So now what? Our Calvinism is wrong? Well, let's put it in context. Remember this morning we talked about the lament of David when Saul and Jonathan died? How the mighty have fallen. What happened to Saul? Saul was doing very well. In fact, he didn't really want to be king, but the Lord had chosen him and the Lord blessed him with the Spirit. At times he could even prophesy. And he began to win victories and he began to be a pretty effective military leader. And he was uptight because his men were starting to leave one day and Samuel was supposed to come and bring the sacrifices. And he was late in coming and his army is leaving. And he says, I got a job to do. I got to protect Israel. We got to win this battle. And he didn't wait. And then he brought the sacrifices. And then the Lord God withdrew His Spirit and gave him an evil spirit so that the end of Saul's life, he spends trying to kill David, God's anointed, and he throws himself on his own sword, and he dies. A sad, broken man. David saw what God can do. And likely, David knew the stories of Samson. Remember the story of Samson? Long hair. And when the long hair was on him, the Holy Spirit was on him, right? And when his hair got cut by a woman, I know you women are not getting lots of good deals today in my sermons, but he got tricked, didn't he? And his hair was gone. And we read in the Bible that the Holy Spirit left him. The Spirit of God left him. And he couldn't do anything more than I can do. He became a weakling. David knew it, and David saw it, and David knew that God had every right to take His Holy Spirit away. And then he cries out, Lord God, I know what You can do, and I know what You have every right to do, but I cannot serve You, I cannot give my life to You, unless You keep me in Your presence, unless You give to me the power of Your Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit whereby, yes, even in the Old Testament, he's crying out to Almighty God because David is the elect child of God. David has been anointed by Almighty God. And all of you who have received the Holy Spirit have been anointed. Prophet, priest, and king. That's been made clear to you in your baptism. So not only then is a baptism like we heard in terms of the hyssop, wash me and I'll be whiter than snow, but it's also in Titus 2 we read the drenching and the anointing of the power of the Holy Spirit. And when that Spirit comes upon us, when Nathan comes or the Word comes or when God comes to you and you say, look, it's not just Lord God that I sinned, but I don't want to do it again. I need forgiveness, but I need to repent. I hate what I did, and not just because I got caught, because I really hate it, because I offended You, and You are all that I have and all that I love. Whom am I in heaven but You? Lord my God, I'm sorry, but I can't help myself. You need to help me. You need to help me. And I can tell you that after years in the ministry and sitting in a detox center feeling like a sibling piece of nothing, and God comes and gets you and says, I'm done with the spirit of booze. I need your spirit. And He comes and He saves you. And it's a powerful, amazing thing. Now, it doesn't have to be that dramatic in your life. But you need to be constantly praying, because I think we don't pray for it enough. And if we're not engaged in this prayer, we become unaware of who we are and what we need. Not what my hands have done can save my guilty soul. Father in heaven, please convert me. Father in heaven, deliver me from evil. What does the catechism say? We're too weak for even a moment to hold our own. And our sworn enemy is the devil, the world, and ourselves, our own flesh. Never stop attacking us. And so, Lord, uphold us. Make us strong with the strength of your Holy Spirit, so that we may not go down to defeat the spiritual struggle, but that we may firmly resist all of our enemies until we finally win the complete victory. Create in me a clean heart, O my God, and I will serve you in perfection and glory forever and ever on this earth. I will never have it, but as you work and engage me in my life, as you make me holy and I desire to become holy, then together we become the people of God, the salt of the earth and the light of the world. That Paul sings to the Philippians about, that you shine like stars. And that's our desire in our holiness and in our life. And why does David go on with that? As he asks for the mercy of the Lord. I see you in your mercy. I know what I need. Create in me a clean heart. Save me. Do not take your presence from me. Restore me to the joy of your salvation. Uphold me with your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners shall be converted to you. The Old Testament's talking about evangelism. It's probably in this particular moment in the song talking about the people of Israel, because remember what's going on in Psalm 50. That they're bringing all their offerings and they're going through all the motions, but God's not seeing it in them. There's not a holiness in them. There's not a passion for living for Him. They're not crying out, Lord God, we need you. Help us and save us. Deliver us from blood guiltiness, O Lord, and we will sing aloud of your righteousness. Do you think those two things go together? I will teach transgressors your way, and then deliver me from blood guiltiness, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. I think we make evangelism too hard. I really do. Sing songs of praise. Tell them about your God. Tell them about what He did. Share your experience. Like we said this morning, and I'll say it again, the best thing, the greatest thing that any Christian could say is, I am a sinner saved by grace. That I did nothing and God came to me and I became something because of Him. That He changes me. And I can't help talking about it. You know, the Edmonton Oilers or the Edmonton Eskimos win. Well, then the whole town's got something to talk about. We win! We have the victory. Jesus has won the victory for us. God has overcome our sin, the devil, our own flesh, the world, and its passions. And we win and we overcome the things of this world. Why are we not more passionate about it? Why are we so shy about it? Oh, are we embarrassed about it? Because if we talk like that at work, we might lose our job. If we talk like that at school, they'll think we're nuts. And by the way, even in the Christian school, even for us, it's easy for us as pastors to do this here. We're preaching to the choir. But we need to do it out there too sometimes. Oh, all the time. Create in me a clean heart, Lord God. Forgive me, restore me to the joy of your salvation. And it's just going to come out of me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters. He anoints my head with oil. my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's David who wrote that. The same David who wrote this. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So even if we would begin to sing our praises in the way that we live, in the way that we speak, even if they shoot us, they've just sent us to heaven. You just did me a favor. Don't be afraid. Be afraid of your sin. Be afraid of those things that hold you down. Go to God, who says, love me, worship me, honor me, adore me, and He restores you so that you can do it again. And you bring your life. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. That's why He comes to us in difficult times. You know, whenever Israel was doing well, it's always when they were doing the worst. Finances were good, they had peace, and they forgot about God. Harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, look, beloved, most of us, in terms of the world, are very rich. Look what we have done. Look what we have built. Look at what I drive. Look at my suit. Look at me. And then God comes and says, no, you need to look to me. And I will come so that you can sing praises to me. Do you see even here how important all of this is? Because there's lots of talk about worship, and I'm sure that's happening in your city as far as my city too. What kind of music and what kind of singing and what kind of sermons and what should a worship service look like? Should it be still and quiet like this, or should it be rowdy like down the street? But at the end of the day, isn't it God who should tell us how to worship Him because He saved us in the first place? He didn't save us because we worshiped Him. He saved us to worship Him. And that's what we try in humble obedience. I mean, if you think about it, could there be any greater act of worship that you could do than to sit and listen to God for a half an hour or so? And just say, Lord, I want to hear you. That's why we do it at a wedding. It's why we do it at a funeral. Lord, we want to hear what you have to say. Speak, O Lord. We want to listen. Speak, O Lord, because we're feeling down today. Speak, O Lord, because in my heart I'm broken and I know what I've become. Speak, O Lord, because I'm feeling so horribly guilty. Restore me. And then we sing praises. We will bring our offerings. We will bring ourselves. And then He received praise for the church. That the church, Israel, Zion, Jerusalem, would be made strong again. And then you see then how 50 and 51 go together. So 50 ends with, now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces. But 23 says, whoever offers praise glorifies me, I will show the salvation of God. Then Israel with David and all of us here in Edmonton this afternoon, you just say, but Lord God, we can't. We're unable. We're filled with sin. Was created in me a clean heart, O God. Put a steadfast spirit within me, because if you do that, then I can praise you. And God says, okay, I'll do that. I will restore you. I will put your sin on Jesus Christ, and I will take it away. But I will baptize you into His death and raise you new in His resurrection, that you may share in His power and His glory, that you may be set free from sin, that the wretchedness may be taken from you, and you may sing praises to me. I created you for this, so that worship now becomes essential to the work of the church on earth. That the heart of the good news is, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Well, what are those blessings? Oh, my house, and my car, and my clothes. I got saved, man. We've been saved by grace. Hallelujah. Praise Almighty God. Speak, O Lord. Speak into our lives, and we will teach sinners your way. And it's powerful, isn't there? Verse 13. And sinners shall be converted. I don't know if we believe that. We would probably say, then I will teach transgressors your way, and probably some will come, or maybe there'll be a conversion. That's not what it says. sinners shall be converted to you. God engages you. He didn't just save you to get you to heaven. He saved you to get busy on this earth worshiping Him so that others can hear the word and be saved. And it would be rebellious in us if we don't do it. And then we better get on our hands and knees and pray, Lord God, restore me. Restore the church. Create in us that clean heart together that we will become the body of Christ here in Edmonton. And that we will bring glory and praise to the living God. Open my lips, O Lord. Now I want you to turn to Psalm 52. And there again it brings it all to an end. Will we boast in evil? The goodness of God endures continually. Your tongue devises destruction. That's who we are, like a sharp razor working deceitfully. We love evil more than good, lying rather than speaking righteousness. You love devouring words, your deceitful tongue, and God will destroy the wicked. But verse 6, the righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. Here is the man who did not make God his strength. Do you realize that? That the wicked out there are perishing? This is who they are. They're perishing. They're being uprooted from the land of the living and they're going to die. They trusted in the abundance of their riches. They strengthened themselves in their wickedness. And then we need to leave here this afternoon with saying this. I am a green olive tree in the house of God. And I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. And I will praise you because you have done it. You created in me that clean heart and steadfast spirit. And in the presence of your saints, I will wait on your name. Because it's good. So we'll go to church twice on Sunday. And we'll praise the living God. And we'll worship at our supper tables and in our bedrooms and in the classroom. Because it's good. And then we'll bring the worship and it'll overflow out of these doors into the community. And they will see in us new people saved by grace, saved to serve, saved to praise the living God. Amen.